This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and of course on Sirius XM Channel 80. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today alongside Bart Squat. We will get back to your phone calls. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But Bart, we've been talking a lot about the Jets, even a little bit about the Miami Dolphins. Let's talk about some other teams around the NFL, because there is tons to react to on this overreaction Monday. We got to get your overreactions. Let's talk about what happened between the Browns and the Bucks. Because this game, it took overtime. It felt like the Bucks were going to pull it out at the end. Then the Browns end up getting the better of them, 23-17 in overtime. An ugly loss for this Bucks team. No Deshaun Watson back yet. This ends the Jacoby Brissett era for the Browns. We'll get into the future there with Deshaun Watson now being truly eligible to return to play starting next week. But let's start with the Bucks side of things. I mean, just an ugly loss for Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, the protection breaks down, lost Tristan Wirfs, and Myles Garrett put on a clinic as far as how to get to the corner and how to bend that corner. He was bending it like Beckham and able to just really harass Tristan Wirfs out. And we keep giving Tom Brady and the Buccaneers the benefit of the doubt because they play in such a bad division. But, man, like, even if they win the division and they're going to host a playoff game, do we even really believe in them long term? I think this could be the end of the Tom Brady era. And, you know, if it is, like, he has nothing to be ashamed for, but I wonder what the feelings are about Todd Bowles in the future head coaching job, you know, because if you can't win with Tom Brady, how do we expect you to win without Tom Brady? So, you know, I think buyer beware there. That's going to be a tough situation. They're going to have to iron that out. And Bruce Arians up in the executive office, he's going to be big in that decision. But Deshaun Watson coming back. And Nick Chubb is always consistent. You can always count on him. But I think maybe it's just too much ground for the Cleveland Browns to make up to try and get in the tournament. But, man, you can set the table for next year.
You can set the table for next year. I guess with both of these teams, I think it's interesting that point you just brought up about Todd Bowles. I feel like he's been flying under the radar this year, getting a little bit of a pass. I don't know why. Like, no one's even talking about him when we kind of talk about these first-year coaches that are, you know, in the hot seat sort of conversation. Not that I think that Todd Bowles is going to get fired after one season, but you have a good point. I don't know if Todd Bowles is a good head coach if he can't do it without Tom Brady. And yeah, Tom Brady isn't prime Tom Brady, but he's still good Tom Brady.
Well, Kyle Trask,
I would imagine, right. I would imagine Kyle Trask ain't any better than this version of Tom Brady. We'll see. Who knows? Go Gator, by the way. But anyways, let's talk about the Jacoby Brissett angle, because his time, it appears, then with Cleveland is going to be over. They're going to be moving on to Deshaun Watson. Did he do enough to prove
you
that he gets another chance as a starter in this league?
No, he didn't do enough. I think you can – I mean, I would put him behind there. I wouldn't even put him up there with the top backups. You know what I mean? I would go with Gardner Minshew, you know, maybe Chase Daniels or you know, somebody like that. But it's interesting, you know, kind of to further the point about this game. When you look on the flip side, you know, Atlanta lost, and they had been punching above their weight class, and they should have beat the Bucks before. Mm-hmm. But let's give some attention to the other team that was in that game with Miami and talk about the Washington Commanders, because they're 7-5, and they're going to get Chase Young back. And this team, much like the Jets, respond around Mike White. Tyler Heineke may not be anybody else's quarterback, but he is their quarterback, and, man, they love playing with him. And it wasn't pretty what he did. It was a grind-out game. But this team has talent. When you think about Terry McLaurin, you think about Curtis Samuel, you think about Logan Thomas, you know, they have weapons on the offensive side of the ball. And defensively, you know, they're starting to hit their stride. And with Chase Young back, you already know that, you know, they have Payne and Allen and Sweat. And now you kind of complete the Voltron puzzle. They can be a team that, you know, Dallas or the Giants or Philadelphia has to watch out for, because you can lose to this team.
Anybody could lose to this Commanders team. It feels like, because of the trajectory of things. The problem is, of course, they're sitting in the hardest division in football for
Washington. Really?
Well, I mean,
they have the best record. They have the easiest schedule, though. Out of all the teams, you know, we talk about, you know, not all 7-5s are created equal, right? Because we saw this a couple years ago when we had the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they were 11-0. And we're like, man, this is a soft 11-0. And everybody looked at us and we was crazy. And I don't even know if they made it to the playoffs, let alone won anything, right? So this, everybody within this division has the easiest schedule in the NFL. So they benefit from that. But also, that means that they're not really battle ready for the big haul. Like, you look at some of these teams' wins, they're all teams that are pretty much below 500. And now they're going to have to play each other. So now they're going to start playing each other. So they're going to start, you know, hurting each other because somebody has to lose. And we're going to see maybe two gets in, maybe three, because Seattle was starting to falter a little bit. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Commanders can take control. They have their own destiny in their own hands.
Tyler Heinicke was 14 of 23, 138 yards passing, two touchdowns, one interception. The Falcons did have an opportunity to win that game at the end. Marcus Mariota threw an interception, and so the Commanders able to hold on to their lead there. Another game that we haven't talked about yet, the Bengals-Titans game. I mean, a big game, divisional matchup there between those two teams, a 20-16, the Bengals get the better of the Titans conference matchup. I should say the Bengals get the better of the Titans. These are two teams that a lot of people think could be, you know, that kind of third tier in the AFC, that third team in the AFC, rather, Bart, below like a Kansas City and
yep.
below the Buffalo Bills. Is it the Titans? Is it the Bengals? Who's better? Did we find out yesterday that it's definitely the Bengals that are better? The Bengals did that without Joe Mixon and without Ja'Marr Chase, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt. I think, you know, sometimes when you got King Henry, you know, and that's not much else. Treylon Burks, the young rookie, is starting to come along. But, man, they really miss a guy like, you know, A.J. Brown, you know, somebody that can make the defense play honest. And you have to tip your hat to the Bengals, who started off really slow. You know, remember appendicitis or whatever Joe Burrow had early in the season. They seem to be hitting their stride offensively and defensively. They're solid. I don't know if they have DJ Reader back or if he's done for the year. But, you know, when they had DJ Reader in there, they were the hardest team to run against. He was playing at an all-pro level. You know, and they did their job because now they're neck and neck with the Ravens. They're tied up with the Ravens as far as the same schedule because the Ravens had a disappointing loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars in one of the most craziest games I've ever seen. You know, almost a 67-yard field goal hit. Mm-hmm. But once again, they left themselves vulnerable. They beaten Cincinnati first, but guess what? It's going to come down, I believe, to the last game of the season as the Ravens play Cincinnati last. Cincinnati's playing well. But it's a lot of bad blood there. Remember what they did. They kind of fed on the Ravens last year with all the injuries. The Ravens are getting healthy, but they have to play better. The Ravens have the easiest remaining schedule in the NFL, but that meant absolutely nothing because Jacksonville was a team that they were supposed to beat.
Yeah, well, obviously, and the Ravens did not take care of business. They haven't taken care of business a few times this season when they've had big leads. They had a 9-point lead in this game going into the fourth quarter. Yeah, that is not the first time that we've heard that story with this Baltimore Ravens team. The Ravens and the Bengals now sitting tied at 7-4 in that AFC North. So you're right. It's a battle to the end between those two teams. The Jags go for it at the end of the game. They're one of them. We get two-point conversions yesterday in the final seconds of games. Both of those teams that had the goal to do it got the dub. The Jags had the goal to do it. They get the dub. They beat the Ravens 28-27. And that's the problem when you face a team like Jacksonville. If you're Baltimore, it feels like they took their foot off the gas. Like they're like, oh, we got this one in the bag because they did have it in the bag through over three quarters.
Yeah.
And then they take their foot off the gas. The Jags have nothing to lose, right? So that's kind of what makes them dangerous. Like Doug Peterson can go out and be aggressive as heck with his play calling.
Yeah.
What do they care?
Yeah, you think a couple weeks ago starting the game with onside kick against Kansas City.
Yep.
Right? And you think about yesterday, like they have nothing to lose. You don't want to – if you're not the better team – you have an opportunity to win the game in one play, you have a much better percentage than just going for two opposed to going into overtime where ultimately the better team should win. Gus Edwards just coming back from being injured, you know, a costly fumble on like their own 20-yard line when they were trying to salt the game away. So just consider some of the losses that the Ravens have had this year. They were up by 21 on your Miami Dolphins and lost that game. They were up by 10 with 4 minutes to go against the Giants and fumbled twice, turned the ball over twice in a row with 4 minutes left in the game. And then the loss yesterday. Those are three winnable games and games that they should mm-hmm. have on the winning side. And they would be not only competing for the division, but they would be competing for – the overall record in the AFC, but they still have the easiest schedule remaining, and they could run the table.
They could run the table if they take care of business. It's funny, the Ravens, like you said, I mean, they could be undefeated right now with the way that things should have gone this season if they would just stop coughing up those leads. I mentioned we got two games with late two-point conversions yesterday. It worked out for both of those teams. Let's talk about how the Chargers beat the Cardinals 25-24 yesterday. What do you make of this win for the Chargers and of this loss for the Cardinals?
Listen, I think, you know, every win that the Chargers get is saving – what's the coach's name? Bradley Staley. It is saving Staley from the inedible. Did I say that right? I got an associate's degree. It's saving him from Sean Payton, who's hovering like a hawk.
Now I know
waiting,
where you're going.
Waiting for that hamster to come out of that burrow hole, because this is a team that has been on the cusp. That's a team that always we talk about the Dallas Cowboys teasing us. Nobody has teased us more than the Chargers in the last 3 years with Justin Herbert and everything that he brings to the table. We need results. They went out and spent money on Khalil Mack. They went out and got J.C. Jackson to go with Derwin James. And they still can't beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They still are struggling for a playoff spot. And if they don't make the playoffs because they falter at the end, I know we say the same thing as like Groundhog Day. The injuries. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Everybody has injuries. You have to win games, and I'll tell you what, Sean Payton putting his name out there saying, I like Arizona, I like the Chargers. Who would you rather coach, Kyler Murray or Justin Herbert?
I would much rather coach Justin Herbert.
Okay.
Ain't even close.
Staley, be careful, because they might just buy you out rather you win and go to playoffs regardless. It happened to Mike Lynn. I don't know what's wrong with my name today. Yeah.
Well, you're right. And so much of this has been also the questions surrounding Staley's clock management, his play calling. You know, why do you have a weapon like Justin Herbert? And it doesn't necessarily, it's not always reflected in the win column. I don't think that any of us are willing to put that on Justin Herbert at this point in his career. It's certainly a Brandon Staley problem moving forward. So we'll see, but they did get the dub yesterday. Let's hit that Saints 49ers game real quick. 13-0, 49ers take care of business. The reason I want to hit this one, it's not so interesting in terms of a result, but it's interesting in terms of, I think, where the 49ers are at right now. That team looks dangerous to me, bar at the right time.
Yeah, they're the most dangerous team with the acquisition of CMC. You know, you talk about having guys that are basically two players in one. You know, CMC is a slot receiver slash running back. Deebo Samuels is a X receiver slash running back. Kyle Juszczyk is a tight end slash fullback. And when you have that type of scheme versatility with a great play caller like Kyle Shanahan, you have a dangerous, dangerous football team. And, oh, by the way, their team hasn't given up a second-half touchdown in four games. So you talk about the defense on that side playing at such a high level. In the playoffs, you need to pack your defense and your run game, and they have both. And so that's a very dangerous team right there, and it's going to be interesting to see, like, if they win the division, a team like Dallas may have to travel out there to San Francisco, and to quote the Nevermore guy, the coldest summer he ever spent was a winter. The coldest winter he ever felt was a summer in San Francisco, because you talk about those crosswinds and how the weather can be out there in the Bay. You talk about that could be a tough environment to play in, and they know how to play in that weather.
CMC just felt like a huge addition for me to that team. That is a nasty team moving forward. Another thriller yesterday was that Raiders-Seahawks game. 40-34, the Raiders end up winning this one in overtime. The Seahawks did have a chance, went 3-and-out. Raiders end up winning this one on their second attempt there in overtime. What do you make of this result? I mean, obviously, the Raiders had to win this game. It's been such a terrible season for that team.
I don't know who's more disappointing, the Raiders, who went to the playoffs last year and lost to the Bengals, or the Denver Broncos within that same division. You know, either way, you know, neither team is going anywhere. And it's interesting that they decided not to pick up Josh Jacobs' option, fifth-year option, and he's been their MVP. Let's see if that equates to a contract extension, and let's see if he's upset and saying, you guys didn't believe in me, you guys made me prove it after I played pretty steady. I want to test the market, because there's going to be a lot of guys that's willing to give him a nice contract because he's not going to go top of the market. He's not going to go CMC. He's not going to go Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. He may be a nice consolation prize for who doesn't get Saquon Barkley. And, oh, by the way, if I'm the Jets, I'm making a trade for Darren Waller.
A couple more to hit here quickly, Bart. Do you care at this point about Panthers, Broncos? Broncos get work 23-10. It feels like it's a wrap for that team. I don't even know if this is still worth talking about.
Yeah, I don't think Sierra or none of the family members of either team cares about this team.
No.
I mean, I think you talk about, who's going to be in the market for a quarterback next year. It's interesting enough that Matt Rhule got a job already. So hopefully, that's going to take some money off of the compensation that Tepper has to pay. And that's interesting how those offset languages work. But this is a team, when you think about, will Steve Wilks be able to get the job? Has he done enough? Sam Darnold coming back, their third-string quarterback coming back and winning the game against, somebody who's supposed to be a Hall of Famer with one of the best defense in the league is disappointing. Russell Wilson getting yelled at by his defensive lineman. I think you talk about coaches losing the locker room. Russell Wilson may have lost the locker room. He may take that let's ride and ride his ass out of town, but they can't do anything.
He ain't going nowhere with that contract.
They stuck with him like a bad algae. It's a rash that won't go away.
He denied that his D lineman was yelling at him. He said that he was just fired up, saying let's go or something like that. The Chiefs made easy work of the Rams 26-10. Not much to say here. No Matthew Stafford. I mean, the Rams season's a wrap. Like, that's it. The Super Bowl's window, it's closed,
yeah,
right?
And I tell you what, you talk about, when you say F them picks, you don't have any depth. And, what's concerning is when Aaron Donald said that he retired and he put in his papers and they gave him the bag. Sometimes when you retire and you say it out there, you put it out there in the universe, subconsciously you retire because he doesn't look like the same player, doesn't have the same effect. And, now they're stuck with two big contracts as they paid everybody. And I don't know if Aaron Donald really wants to play football anymore.
We're going to get back to some of your phone calls here in just a few seconds. Let's get this word from O'Reilly, though, that Bart for us.
Mm-hmm. Are your it just doesn't matter down there in sunny Miami, but are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. They'll install your wiper blades for free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's your music.
There
Bart.
We go. We need.
That's
we just want balance.
Bart was looking for.
We just want balance.
We're balanced here on Bart and Han. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Han. We will get back to some New York Jets talk. We know you guys are chomping at the bit for it. You're blowing us up. 888-SAY-ESPN. We appreciate all of the calls. Let's start with Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, what do you have for us?
All right, guys. Listen, Amber, Zach Wilson is a dual threat quarterback. He's little, and he's not very good, and he was a threat to us making the playoffs. New York is done with him. I'm sorry. You got to give that up, man. New York is done with him. And as far as Mike White, listen, they tried to use Mike White as a sacrificial lamb last year after he got hurt his arm in the Colts game. Nobody was winning that Buffalo game. So they used that as an excuse to put Zach Wilson on the field. We don't know what Mike White is. But you know what we do know? He's Mike effing White. Let's go!
Mike White!
man.
See, it's the energy, man. The energy and his team rallied around him. This is a talented team that has to learn how to be consistent. Listen, before yesterday, this Jets team had won most of his games on the road. They've been road warriors. They've gone into tough environments and came out with the dub.
Yeah, Zach Wilson got a lot of those dubs.
Mike White got one, and Flacco got two.
Flacco.
So let's not act like Mike White. Let's just talk about those defensive performances that in all metrics are one of the best, in football since Quentin Williams screamed at his coach on the sideline and said, put it on us, the D-line. Quit blitzing, son.
Dana is in Virginia. Dana, thanks for the call. What do you have for us on the Baltimore Ravens?
I think that the Ravens even signed Lamar. I think that Lamar should go ahead and move on. I think that Lamar should move on to Vegas. I think Vegas should get rid of that coach that
Already?
We're already out on Josh McDaniels.
Las Vegas Raiders should get rid of that fake quarterback that they didn't have for the last 5 years.
Derek Carr's
Let's
fake?
Get Lamar. Let's get my boy from Kansas City. From Kansas City to come coach the Raiders.
Eric Dandy.
And spend the rest of the money on the defense to get rid of all that garbage in our secondary. Get something to go with Mad Max.
They spent a bunch of money. They went and got Chandler Jones, who before he got there was one of the best, you know, had more sacks than anybody in the league over the last 5 years, right? You talk about getting rid of Josh McDaniels, you still paying John Gruden. What, you going to pay four coaches in a row? Like, he got a six-year contract. Gruden was in a $100 million contract. How much money are you going to spend on coaches?
I know he didn't get much time in Denver, but he's going to get at least a little time here in Las Vegas. Though it is ugly this season, it does not look good for Josh McDaniels. Sometimes people are just built to be coordinators and not head coaches. I think it's too early to tell, though, when it comes to Josh McDaniels. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, Rick is in Virginia. Rick, you have thoughts on Lamar Jackson as well. Give them to us.
Yeah, hey, I think that Jackson should go to the Jets. They should have the money to pay him. They got rookies on, talented rookies that are on deals for the next 2-3 years here. What do you think? I think
here's the problem. Here's what I think. I think the Ravens are going to tag Lamar Jackson. I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think they'll tag him and tag him again if they have to, and then they're going to pay him. Like, he's not going anywhere. He's staying in Baltimore.
There's no way they want to tag him twice and pay him.
That's true. That would be killer.
That would be so much, because you get penalized for tagging somebody twice. And then the money, by the time Joe Burrow gets paid, by the time Herbert gets paid.
I mean, it's Jalen is part of that conversation with who's going to get the bag after this season. Yeah, it's not going to get easier right now for the Ravens. Now, I wouldn't say that Lamar is blowing things out of the water in a contract.
He was an MVP candidate his first five games, but losing Bateman, I feel bad for Lamar because he doesn't get his Stephon Diggs, he doesn't get his AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Like, he's out there throwing to guys that were outcasts, Marcus Robinson, Deshaun Jackson. Like, when does he get his undoubtedly one of the best receivers? When did he get a Mike Evans? When does he get a Keenan Allen?
Aaron never got it, right? I guess. I mean, it's kind of the Aaron Rodgers effect.
Adams. Hold on.
Yes, but with Aaron, it was the same story. It's like every year we were having this conversation. Oh, well, they're not going to draft. They don't draft the weapons, right?
Well, Jordy Nelson was pretty damn good.
Ended up being pretty darn good. And the reality is I think Aaron Rodgers elevated all of them, right? Is what he did. And I guess we're still expecting him to do it.
Well, Devontae Adams still balling out in Vegas. So it means he's scheme diverse. And Donald Driver was there from the Brett Favre years. And the Devontae, and you have Jordy Nelson. You can say that he created him, much like Tom Brady created Amendola, Wes Walker, unlocked them and put them in positions to be who they were and put them in positions to always do things that was a strength and not a weakness of theirs.
So the calls will not stop coming. So give them to it. They can't stop, won't stop. 888-SAY-ESPN. This is Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. More of your calls coming up next. Plus, Deshaun Watson is officially back.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't fake me over.
The Jacoby Brissett era in Cleveland is over, or so it appears. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn today. That, of course, was the soulful sounds of Bart Scott. Deshaun Watson, he served his 11-game suspension. According to the NFL, he complied with all of the standards and rules applied to that suspension. He is officially eligible today to return to the team as a starting quarterback. He will play in his first game of the season next weekend when the Browns take on his former team in the Houston Texans. That means Brissett's last game was this past weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brissett finishes off his career as a starter in Cleveland with the dub. But let's talk about what this means with Deshaun's return, because we don't really fully know what Deshaun's going to look like. Obviously, it's been a long time since we've seen him play consistent football, even though we got snippets of it there in the preseason. The Browns, Bart, sitting at 4-7 right now. They are third in the AFC North.
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, Jacoby Brissett didn't do a good enough job in holding the fort. And why this team can't be a dominant defensive team with this running game, I have no idea. But they haven't been able to unlock. When you got arguably one of the best game records in Myles Garrett, and, you know, not a bad, you know, compliment on the other side and Clowney, and you think about Ward and all the talent they have there, they just haven't been able to be that dominant presence. But Deshaun Watson, you know, he's going to have some rust. He looked really rusty in preseason. And, you know, I'm sure he had a lot on his mind. And for everybody out there saying, how can you guys just talk about him? He did this, he did that. He served his time. And in my opinion, you know what I mean, I have to separate the football player from the allegations of what he did or what he didn't do. And I'm just breaking down him as a football player. So don't come at me about the other stuff, because I'm talking about him and what it means on the football field.
I mean, it is our jobs here.
Yeah, that's all I'm
qualified to talk about this component. Right. We can't ignore. And listen, and I am not minimizing anything that Deshaun Watson was accused of. Trust. However, he is back as the starting quarterback, whether we agree with it here or not. He's back as the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. That means moving forward, Deshaun Watson is going to be in the football conversation. It just is what it is, and we're going to have to discuss it from a football perspective. And certainly, we assume that Deshaun, you mentioned the rustiness that we saw there in the preseason. And there's this assumption that Deshaun can be the Deshaun that we once saw at the height of things there in Houston. Obviously, he's still a young guy. We know that he was a top five quarterback in the league when we did last see him in Houston, when he was able to be a consistent starter. It's been a long time since we saw Deshaun Watson, though, in that role. So we don't really know what he's got left in the tank, Bart. Even if it takes a while, though, for him to get it going, presumably the Browns are looking forward with this move. That's the whole reason they made this move to begin with from a football perspective, right? It wasn't about this season. It's about the future. This season,
yes, the next
I'm not
four,
sure what Deshaun could possibly do, to be honest. Like, this season, to me, feels lost.
Well, it is lost because Jacoby Brissett lost it, right? And that's okay. You know, he did his best. But, you know, you think about Deshaun Watson this season and the rest of this season is really about him getting back into a rhythm so that when you start OTAs, one, remember, this is a different system for him as well. So this is about getting verbiage, growing packages, getting comfortable with the weapons that you're going to be playing with, seeing what you need, what you're missing for him to be successful going forward. So this is evaluation time, and this is enough games, six games, to be able to evaluate Deshaun Watson and evaluate your roster and see how you're going to move forward with surrounding him, because next year that's going to make them, to me, if not the favorite, one of the favorites in the in that division, you know, as far as being able to win some championships or be, you know, in contention. So I think this is going to be important to see how he looks and what they can do and how much ground they can cover.
And he'll have the consistency, like you mentioned, because now he's getting the rest of this season. So when they do roll into OTAs and when they do roll into training camp, they'll be ahead of the game in that regard. Unlike this past season where he's joining the team late and then you're trying to get him into training camp and you're trying to get him into a preseason where you're seeing a snippet of Deshaun Watson. It stands to reason that we still might get some rust from Deshaun Watson as we start out here as a starter. It's a cupcake game he's got coming up. It might be emotions, though, running high, because it's against the Houston Texans. So that's weird, right? Like, you want to face the Houston.
Is it in Houston? If it's
I wasn't
in Houston,
prepared for follow-up questions. It is in Houston. Yes, yeah, it is in Houston on
it could
Sunday
be a mix,
at 1
it could
p.m.
be a mixed bag, because I'm sure there's going to be some fans that appreciate what he did and what he gave to that organization. And then there's going to be some that feels like, hey, you gave up on us, you quit on us. And,
well, and then, of course, there's the allegations as well that are going to follow Deshaun Watson everywhere. I think that, frankly, the hostility towards Deshaun Watson ain't going to be isolated to Houston. Like, that hostility Deshaun Watson, that's following him for the next at least couple years of his
career. But it's good to get that out the way as well. right?
Right.
It's good to get that out the way
it,
as well.
It might be something that affected him a little bit in the preseason, because you saw some of that in the preseason. You didn't see the same Deshaun Watson in the preseason that we were used to seeing in Houston.
Right, and I don't know, because it's been so far removed from us talking about it, and we're bringing it back, you know, because he's coming back. But, you know, that may wear off. You talk about you have a whole offseason and all that stuff coming back. So it's good for him to kind of get those, you know, that out the way and learn how to adjust to hearing people boo or have derogatory things to say. And, you know, fans are brutal, especially, you know, if they feel like it can help their team win. You know, they may just say stuff to say it, not just because they mean it or they care, but they may say it just to try and get underneath his head because they think that can help their team win.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. Coming up next, we give you a breakdown of the Monday night game tonight. We also will, of course, close out the show with your phone calls. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Yeah, this is Amber all damn day. All day this is Amber. Just poking and poking and poking and poking.
Starting something over here on Bart and Hahn. Aaron Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. This show has flown because I started something, admit
it. Mike White.
Bart Scott, you like me being here stirring the pot every once in a while.
I love it.
We appreciate all your phone calls. We'll get back to them in a moment. But I want to talk about this Monday Night Football game that we have coming up tonight. The Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Killer matchup tonight between the Steelers and the Colts. Listen, maybe not the most exciting matchup in the world here,
It is.
Because football, okay, it's the most Steelers-Colts, really, most exciting matchup. A 3-7 versus a 4-6, convince me of it.
Because you have two equally bad teams going against each other, which means it's going to be a competitive game, so you're going to see good football. It's not lopsided, right? And you got T.J. Watt coming back, and if T.J. Watt's back, then that means that the Steelers' defense is back, and it's going to be interesting because we know the Saturdays on Monday are going to run the football, and it's going to be a battle, old school matchup of who's going to be the tougher player, who's going to be the tougher team. Jonathan Taylor is going to be, you know, come out and he's going to give his best shot. Let's see on the other side, flip side, if this offensive line can get going, Matty Ice can get going as well. So I think, you know, what you have at stake is, will Mike Tomlin have his first losing season? Can Jeff Saturday play and coach good enough to get himself a second opportunity to be the coach moving forward? So you have all kind of stories in both teams and both organizations, and both coaches have a lot to coach for. And when you have a lot to coach for, it kind of reverberates down to your roster, right? Because a lot of guys on this Steelers side is trying to, you know, make sure that they're on the team next year. And on the other side, they're trying to impress, you know, the Colts were a team that we thought with Matt Ryan is all we needed was a team that we thought can compete, you know, for a championship. We thought that's all they needed. We thought, okay, well, Wentz was just that bad, but this was a team that all they had to do was beat Jacksonville to go to the playoffs, and they've underachieved. So let's see what happens now when you get both of these guys, prideful organizations, together. It should be a nice scrap.
Prideful organizations, you always want to win. But really, if Mike Tomlin finally has a losing season, it doesn't do anything whatsoever to tarnish his legacy or anything think about Mike Tomlin. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, this season was about evaluating what you've got there, right?
And
Kenny
what do
Pickett.
You have?
This game feels like an evaluation of Kenny Pickett on a Monday Night Football stage.
But this is what I've always said, though. Like, I knew that Kenny Pickett, you know, you look at where they were in the 20s. And with this draft that we've all anticipated this year of having maybe four, you know, franchise quarterbacks, and I know that means nothing, but, you know, I felt like the Steelers should have got the best player available last year, knowing that they were going to have a reset year. Everybody knew that the Steelers were going to have a reset year, but the Steelers, right? Because, you know, those prideful organizations, I like to call them those heritage organizations, always think they can reload and not have to rebuild. Well, they're in a rebuild, and they have to figure out who's going to be their foundation going forward. And I thought this would have been an opportunity, because now if the Steelers, you know, continue the way they're going with 3-7 and they're sitting there at number 3 or number 4 and Will Anderson goes, you know, 2 or 3, are they just going to sit there and look at these franchise quarterbacks, whether it's C.J. Stroud, whether it's Bryce Young or, you know, some of the other good quarterbacks and just move down, not take them?
So they I don't think that they're taking a quarterback. It seems like they wanted the hometown kid in Kenny Pickett.
But you understand what I'm saying? Every guy that's going to be evaluated at a top 5, top 10 level is going to have better grades and evaluations than Kenny Pickett had last year.
That's true because of where he was drafted. But I don't know if C.J. Stroud is going to be any better in the league than Kenny Pickett's going to be.
You don't think who's the top? What about Bryce Young as a Thor?
I mean, I still don't. My point is, like, any guy that you throw out from me in college ball, no matter what they're doing out there right now, we don't actually know if they're going to end up being any better than Kenny Pickett. They took their home town kid. They're developing him. This seems like it's all part of that.
Developing him. But listen, in this division, we know better than most, you know, been in that division for so long, that if you don't have a quarterback that can compete with Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, and Lamar Jackson, you ain't going to have a chance. You won't win those 50-50 games, right? But so many years, the Steelers were on the other side because they were going against a young Joe Flacco. They were going against the 35 quarterbacks, Andy Dalton, that they had in Cincinnati. Now you want to be the Pittsburgh Steelers that want to run the ball and play great defense, and you have the worst quarterback in the division, it is hard to consistently win that way. So you got to find a special guy, and it's tough to for them to be in position to maybe even take a quarterback, much like Arizona did before, right, when Arizona had Josh Rosen at number 7 and decided to go with Kyler Murray. Like, I'm just saying, it's intriguing to me that the Steelers could potentially be at pick number 3 or pick number 2 and look at their choice of 3 quarterbacks and decide to say, no, we good. I'm good with Kenny Pickett against Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Joe Burrow. We good.
Well, if Kenny Pickett goes out tonight on a Monday Night Football stage and has a big game, it may go pretty far in helping him secure at least another opportunity here with the Steelers next season. I mean, the Cardinals situation was such an outlier. It was such a strange situation. You're talking about, you know, bringing in a staff there that was familiar with Kyler Murray, and we never see that. We never see them move on from the top pick. And see, Josh Rose, everybody's moved on from Josh Rose. I don't know if Kyler was necessarily the right choice either, but certainly, I guess, a better choice overall than Josh Rosen.
Well, Josh Rosen is getting mail at 5 or 8 different P.O. boxes because mm-hmm. he's been on every team every year.
His chances.
I don't even know where he is anymore. So
I don't know either.
Like, where's Waldo? It's
Progressive's. Let me hit this read real quick. It's Progressive's 10th key to the progress giveaway for veterans. This year, their goal is to gift a vehicle to a recipient, small business, or nonprofit in every state. See more about their annual giveaway at keystoprogressive.com. Had to get that one in.
I appreciate you.
So, a big one tonight. A big one because, again, it's football. It's Monday Night Football. It's a bad against a bad, but Bart Scott's telling us that makes it exciting because they will be even keel teams. We'll see who gets.
You
the
know you're going to watch. You guys are addicted to us. Don't worry about it. What are you going to watch?
Of course, everybody's going to watch.
What are you going to watch? Miami Heat play somebody? Nobody will see that trash.
8:15. Okay, get off my Heat. 8:15 tonight on ESPN. Steelers and Colts.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.